Roger Green, host of the Surfing the Mesh Tsunami podcast. This week, we're offering 6 conversations from episode 7, where we join 5 leading North American patient advocates to celebrate the approval of Rezdiffra on March 14th, 2024, and to discuss some implications for patients and other stakeholders. This conversation starts with my final question, which I ask each panelist to identify a stakeholder group that can take a valuable lesson from our conversation, and also what they think that lesson should be. Wayne Eskridge focuses on the need to increase education and information support from the gastroenterology community. Mike Patel and Jen Jones hope that the entire experience, including today's conversation, will lead to greater investment in research and also both broader and deeper focus in terms of research topics. Louise Campbell stresses the need to provide education and recruitment for medical, nursing, and allied health professionals. Jeff McIntyre asserts that if nutrition and physical activity are critical adjuncts to drug therapy, we need to advocate for access to and reimbursement for dietitians, physical therapists, exercise specialists, and other supportive professionals. Tony Milioti discusses different scale and specifics for education. And I wrap up by discussing the ability to increase optimism in the patient population through education and support. I also note the increasing scale and scope of investment opportunities and suggest investors look to engage in this space more aggressively. In episodes 6 and 7, we have now spoken to 2 of the groups most directly engaged in activities leading to and emanating from the Rezdiffra approval. This group of patient advocates is energized, optimistic, and brimming with new ideas. So just sit back, listen, enjoy, learn, and when you're done, join the dialogue in our LinkedIn discussion group. Can you identify one stakeholder somewhere in the healthcare system, whether directly involved in Liver Today or not, that has a lesson they need to take out of this, or we need for them to take out of this? And who is that stakeholder, and what is that lesson? Wayne, if you can go that fast, I'm really impressed. Go ahead.
Wayne Eskridge.
You know, the big hurdle that we're going to face is with the gastro community. We'll put pressure on the primary care docs over time to identify these people, and they're eventually going to send people into the gastro realm because there just simply aren't enough hepatologists to carry the burden. And we have so overloaded the gastro community with scoping that they really just want to, they're head down, butt up, scoping all day, and they don't really want to take time to talk with patients. And that's going to be a serious roadblock for us. And it's going to cause a lot of frustration, I think, to the gastro community. So whether we advocate for their PA, building up their PA support to handle the dietary issues and the ongoing day-to-day small things, or what we do to augment or modify in some way the gastro response, I think is going to be critical in the long term.
Good place to start. Who wants to go next?
Mike Patel.
I would like to see continued research into the MASH space with regard to the successes that have just happened. There was that spider web of molecules in development. Not sure how many dropped off because they had to or because they wanted to, but this is good encouragement for people to continue to do research so that we have options and improvements in the future.
Jen Jones.
I'd like to piggyback off of what Michael just said, because I just had the opportunity to spend about an hour with an immunologist and talking about this drug. It happened to be a part of the conversation. It wasn't our whole conversation. And he's actually, well, you know, he's an immunologist. He needs cells to work with. And so we're moving in this non-invasive route of non-biopsy. And his concern becomes, well, how are we going to do our job without cells to work with? And so I think we're going to need to get some really good buy-in from the research community on how to do this effectively moving forward.
Louise Campbell.
I think for me, it's going to be about medical, nursing, and allied health education, bringing it back to our original training of those areas, in the fact that we write this now into the story, metabolic health, that we get this into people knowing that liver health is intrinsic and important to that cardiometabolic space. So putting it deliberately, but into medical school, into evidence, into education, and in all walks. so that it becomes common language. Oh, have you thought about the liver? Or did we consider this? We wrote it out of the story. We need to put it back in. It's as simple as that. But we need to start now in training.
Jeff McIntyre.
I'm going to fall into what I'll call the, for your Schoolhouse Rock fans, I'm going to fall into the conjunction junction here, which is, if you'll notice in the labeling, as Jen pointed out earlier, said that it is to be taken in conjunction with diet and exercise. And when you look at other medications, I think that phrase in conjunction with is actually pretty important, because sometimes they'll say adjunct to or adjunct with, but in conjunction with gives a little bit of a different connotation in this way. And so in conjunction with diet and exercise, or I prefer the terms physical activity and nutrition, those are the areas that I would point to paying attention to this, is the area of nutrition and physical activity. And there's some big battles that we got to fight there too. If I'm diagnosed with NASH and beginning to go on this medication, but the dietitian or the physical therapist or the exercise specialist isn't reimbursed and I have to pay out of pocket for that, then that stalls me pretty completely. And so it just renders, you know, then we're not going to see the results of the medication as optimized as it could be. And so for me, that's where it is with the dietitians and the exercise specialist, I believe.
Okay. So Tony, we've not heard from you yet, and I'm going to go last because I've got at least three things I'm thinking of right now.
Tony Viliotti.
Okay. My mind is really all about education. And I think we can, you know, if people become educated about what they're putting in their bodies and how it's affecting their liver, we can reduce the flow of people that will have to go into the medical system. I mean, one of the things we find most effective when we go out, we bring with us bottles of Coke and Pepsi, orange juice, you know, Gatorade, with the amount of sugar in the bottle. And it's a great visual. People, you know, see that and they say, geez, I can't believe I'm, you know, putting all that sugar in my body. And I just think, you know, continued focus on that education, you know, might help to stem the flow of people with liver issues.
So that and Jeff's comment are a good segue to my first point, which is a dozen years ago when I was being treated for adjuvant melanoma, lymph node melanoma, thankfully never got past one basis, and I'm here a dozen years later. I was on a bulletin board where people were saying things like, if I can't eat fried green tomatoes, life isn't worth living. But that was at a point in time when there wasn't a lot to do for melanoma yet. So I think people get smarter about the idea that they can do something once they have hope that doing something is going to do something, if you will, in the keep it on category. So one of the exciting things about having medication is now, people can be hopeful. Jeff and I talked about this a little bit in the group on Friday, also in the context of talking about diet and exercise means something completely different when it's part of a therapy that has a drug in it as compared to the only thing that you have to do. That's number one. My second and third comments are really to the investment community, although because a lot of investors listen to this, actually. Number one is there will be a huge market in electronic support, because the point that Jeff made about making electronic medical records smarter at health records smarter at FDA, Wayne's point about gastros being swamped, a lot of that's got to get dealt with electronically. I agree also that a lot of it has to get dealt with through physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and better use of allied professionals, but a lot of it's got to get dealt with electronically. And it's easy to do. Someone just has to invest the money and the time to do it. The third thing is this 30-something percent of this population has MASLD and 15% of this population has MASH. Then the diversity of profit-making opportunities that are going to be available is indescribable. Jen mentioned 59 diabetes drugs, right, with probably 7 or 8 pivotal modes of action over the last 30 years. I just mentioned, Jeff mentioned electronics. We've talked about FibroScan, and there are now 3 or 4 other scanning devices, and they're all still just second generation, third generation stuff. People should overcome their skittishness to invest really fast, because it's going to be a major health problem and it's going to require money. And with money, things can't get done. So I wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago. I would have said it 3 weeks ago, but I wouldn't have said it with as much conviction, because getting this drug over the finish line is really the proof, right?
And now back to Roger.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. If you have any questions or comments about the content of this conversation or the entire episode, please put them in the review section of the page from which you downloaded this conversation, or send an email to questions@surfingmash.com. We're still working on next week's topic, but it will be a good one. All the options are great. Until then, stay safe, surf on, see you on the podcast. Bye-bye now.